Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I want you to turn your Bibles with me this morning to Jeremiah. Let's go over to about the 32nd chapter. Let's read here in about verse 17. Well, let's go to chapter 32 of Jeremiah to verse 17. It says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts, is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are opened upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing." Let's read verse 19 one more time. I want you to really ponder on this, brothers and sisters. I'm going to say this before I read it again. I was walking to church the other evening. I made mention of it, but the Lord spoke to me about halfway across. It's not much of a distance there, but it don't take much of a speaking of the Lord neither. You know, you think, well, how much could it say? Let me tell you, one spoken word from God will just come alive in your heart. And it'll just open up rivers, brothers and sisters. One spoken word could bring an expression that is innumerable, you know, when it's a spoken word of the living God. One word, I'm telling you. I've had God all of a sudden enlightened just one word that, you know, you use the word or you've thought about the word, and just one word, and all of a sudden it comes as a quickening. It's quickened to you, or it comes a revelation to you. One spoken word, and all of a sudden it just opens up chapters of things. It's like, wow, it is unreal. And sometimes it's hard to contain, you know, hold yourself back from even breaking down and literally breaking down and crying sometimes with the word. So, but as I said, I was walking over here the other day, and you know, there are people in this day and hour question God. They question God and think, well, why God? Why not me? You know, I'm faithful. I go to church. I do this. I pay my tithes. I do this. But why, Lord? Why? Why are you blessing this one, or why aren't you blessing me, or why is it this way, or why is it that way, and this and that. But you see, brothers and sisters, we are absolutely, for everything that is happening around about us, are the ones that created it. He made us creators, and we've created a world that we live in. And some of us don't like the worlds that we dwell and live in, but we've made that world. You could make a world of joy, you could make a world of sadness, you could make a world of despair and grief and misery. Or you could make a world of pleasure and happiness. And we got to understand that. See, he gives us prosperity. He wants us to prosper and be in health. You know, and even the message on Friday night, you know, I mean, it was a balanced message. And if one would be listening to it out of guilt, he would think that, man, we're not supposed to prosper. But then yet, if we would listen to it, he made us to prosper. But what we do with the prosperity that he's given us is what will bring it and make it grow and make it fertile and make it come alive. Or otherwise, the things that he has allowed us to have could be judgments. Like the Bible does say, the wealth of the rich will be the things that judges them. It's the very thing that judges them. And on the other hand, the wealth and the things that we as the sons of God have accumulated could be the very things to show the blessings of God. But the accumulations are the abundance to give out. And if we can't do that, then it won't come. He'll dry it up and stop it. You know, it's dependent upon what we do. Let's read this verse again. It says, "Great in counsel," verse 19, "and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing, which hath set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, even unto this day, and in Israel, and among other men, and hast made thee a name as at this day, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders, and with a strong hand, and with a stretched out arm, and with great terror, and hast given them this land which thou didst swear to their fathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. And they came in and possessed it, but they obeyed not the voice, neither walked in the law. They have done nothing of all that thou commandest them to do. Therefore thou hast caused all this evil to come upon them." Now, brothers and sisters, we could look at this historically speaking, but I'd like to speak of these things in a present day perspective of thought. You see, it's good to understand that God's the same today, yesterday, and forever. It's good to look back to what took place in Egypt and these promises and these things. But brothers and sisters, God's mind is the same. Now when people look at the Old Testament, they say, well, that was a different God of the Old Testament to the New Testament. No, it's all one and the same God. You see, but the things, the people's judgments was coming before them because it was showed to do with natural, and what they were sowing, they were immediately reaping in the perspective of the things that they would do. The judgments would be there. If a woman was caught in the act of adultery, the judgments would be right there. They would take them and stone them. The difference in this day and hour, the judgment hasn't changed. The mind of God has not changed. But the thing is, there's a dispensation of grace that allows you in this time of walking through this wilderness, it'll allow you to stumble and it'll allow you to do that. But it does not mean that there's not judgment for the stumbling. He said that he recompensed these things of the fathers down to the children. And brothers and sisters, we're not going to take away with the dispensation of grace. I understand when we get in the New Testament, we think of grace. When we go over to the Old Testament, we think of law. But I'm not going to take away from the grace, but you know, we don't take this grace and turn it into lasciviousness. We still watch the mind and the hand of God. And when you are a Christian, born again and receive the Spirit, it sets you into another dispensation of Spirit. And that dispensation is a non-ending one. When we think of dispensation, it's a timely perspective of a time. But what dispensations really, when you get in the Spirit, are done away with, they're over, and you're going into the one eternal day of the Lord. And we are the children of light, the children of day, the children of resurrection, and we're in that one eternal day walking with the Lord forever. So you see what happens, brothers and sisters. I remember many years ago preaching a message, and I titled it A Soul Realm Religion. Or I didn't entitle it that way, but I knew that was the thrust of the message. A soulless religion. And there's people that have truly been caught up into a soulless realm or a second heaven. There is most definitely an illumination there. There is a light there, which is an understanding. But it's not the fullness of the understanding of God, because there is a twilight realm or an intermingling in that soul realm with the light, the black light, or the darkness of the intellectual mind, or the illumination, even Lucifer being considered a light bearer. But we find that when you're in the first dimension, it's total darkness with void of understanding, without form and void. And then when you find this light coming, it brings an understanding, a revelation. I know we'd look back to the earth and see this light or this Spirit moving over the face of the deep, and the darkness was without form and void, and we find creation beginning. Well, we got to find that with man. And we find this light moving over the darkness of your intellectual mind, of your carnality, from your human reasoning, from your intellect, and all those things. You find this Spirit illuminating and bringing you to an understanding and a light. But when we get into this realm of grace, there's a way to understand this mercies and grace of a living God. And it's not there to take advantage of. It's not there to take it to a lasciviousness. It's not there that we could just still have the mind of intellect and carnality and the things of this world and go on and still think we have God. It is there, brothers and sisters, that we can glean from this light or from this understanding, from revelation in Christ, and grow in that. And when we're truly in the Spirit and been caught away into the Spirit, brothers and sisters, this dispensation of grace is gone. It's totally gone. Now let me explain something to you. There's people that would have a real problem with that. You say, are you doing away with the blood of Jesus? I say, no. You would have never got into the Spirit I'm speaking about without it. Are you doing away with His sacrifice? No. You would never inherit the kingdom of God except the sacrificial efforts of the Lord Jesus Christ by Him purchasing you and dying for you and bringing you into that. But if you would get into the mind of the Spirit, you know that sin, when you get into in the mind of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, the Bible said sin is not imputed. Blessed is the man whose sin is not imputed. So you see, when you're in the Spirit, that sin part's done away with the death part. It's not imputed to that man in the Spirit. When you get into the Spirit and you're walking in the Spirit, we do know that when we go into willful sin, and we have to differentiate sin, there's a sin that's unto death and a sin that isn't. But the Bible teaches not to even pray for that one. So we have to differentiate. But I can tell you this, that when you're in the Spirit, you see, brothers and sisters, if you are spiritual and you've come to an understanding by the Spirit, that's the only way you get understanding, and you go back and walk in those things, it says there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin. That's what the Bible teaches now. Now, who's that speaking to? You see, I can't plead the blood of Jesus over that because I'm in the Spirit now. I can't plead the blood of Jesus in those disobedience, but I'm in the Spirit. And what am I in the Spirit? A son of God. Now, if I am a disobedient son, when I get into the realms of the Spirit, then the thing is, that because I'm walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and I let this infiltration of human reasoning and carnality or darkness intermingling, the only place it's intermingling is in that soul realm. So then you would say, well, I don't understand for this reason. If you're speaking by the Spirit, then it's Spirit, or if you're speaking in the soul, it's by the soul realm. But you see, brothers and sisters, there is a dispensation of grace, and I'm not doing away with that. But we got to keep it where it's applied at. Because once we're walking in the Spirit, we can't keep applying the blood. It's a violation to the Word of God in the Scriptures. Again, it says, if there's a knowledge, once you've been enlightened and tasted of this heavenly world or been enlightened by this Spirit, and then you go back, it said there remaineth no more sacrifice. What was the sacrifice for, brothers and sisters? The saving of the soul. So this would be very troublesome to people to hear this, but we have to understand where we're at and what day and hour we're living in. If I'm supposed to walk in the Spirit, if I'm supposed to pray in the Spirit, if I'm supposed to speak in the Spirit, then I'm supposed to be spiritual. So the thing is I can't keep going back and pleading the blood of Jesus over my ignorances and my stumbling stagger. And you say, you're going to take away the grace of God. But this is the teaching of the church. Well, nobody's perfect. You know, we're all sinners and we fall short of the glory of God. And there's truth in what they're saying. And they're speaking to that first birth, that outer garment of iniquity. But you see, we got to start taking the authority and the power of who we are in Christ. I know this sounds a little different than what we read here, but I'm saying some things here for we could go and bring this into a present day application or a truth. And if he chastens them that he loves, and if he's looking upon your ways, and again, we say so oftentimes, it's who you yield your members to or who you are of. So a lot of times it's differentiating of what and who you truly are of. It's not hard to know who a man is of. It is not hard, brothers and sisters, when you're walking in the Spirit and observing things by the Spirit of Christ, it's not hard to know who people are of. And some would say, well, I've looked beyond the veil of darkness and I've seen the hope of light and I've seen that diamond in the rough and this and that. And I say, yes, we could see that in the Spirit, but that's got to come to perfection. That's the ministry's calling. The fivefold ministry is sent for the perfecting of the saints. You see, they've been perfected by the works of Christ once and for all. But now we've got to bring that into a works, into a manifestation that others could see it. And the only reason you want others to see it is for they could have that hope of glory of Christ that's within you. So when we read the scriptures here, we find that he's looking upon our ways. And so often time, and I'm going to back up from where I was going for a minute and catch you back into a thought, and then maybe if the Lord will help me, I can go and bring some clarity to some of the things that I've said. You'll only understand it if you combine it by the mind of the Spirit. The problem with the churches in this day and hour, they all just keep going back to the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. I remember talking with Pete. We was walking into a restaurant. I made a statement. I said, Brother Pete, I said, the problem with the churches, they don't understand the blood of Jesus. They think it atones for all sin. And this man in his little three-piece suit and his polished up shoes, man, he turned around, put his finger in my face, and he said, the blood of Jesus atones for all sin. I said, sir, you're wrong. But he wouldn't listen to the end of the matter. Now, the Bible said it atones for all sin. So was he right? Yes, he was right. Was I wrong? No, I was exactly right. Because the Bible says that when you blaspheme against the Holy Ghost, there's no forgiveness for that sin in this world or the world to come. So is that a sin that we're speaking about? And if the Bible says that you go off into willful sin, that there remaineth no more sacrifice for that willful sin, then what I'm saying is right. But you see, the difference is the mind of differentiation to understand these things and keep them in the proper perspective. Because what the man, in his understanding, he was right with an arrogance. But the Bible said a wise man will hear the end of the matter. He wouldn't stand still long enough. He was just so arrogant and thought he understood. But that man will walk in a soulish realm and keep pleading the blood of Jesus and find himself going right into hell. Because I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there has to be a catching away into the Spirit. We're commanded to walk in the Spirit, to pray in the Spirit. And when we get into the second heaven in that soulless realm, brothers and sisters, there's a travail and a warfare. And some of you walk in such a travail and a struggle and a warfare all the time because you've never come through that door open in the Spirit. And when you get through that door, you speak by the Spirit. You walk in the comfort of the Spirit and the insurance of the Spirit. You're not stumbling around or staggering around. You've got your bearings and you're set forth and know who you are in Christ. So it's just simply that you've come to a lesser light or an illumination of the soul realm and you need to enter on in across. So when we look at this and we say that, as I said, the Lord spoke to me coming across from the house, and this scripture fits so perfectly with it. People are walking in despair of thought and mind. I hear them. I've heard people say, I remember in one of our church services, we had a meeting and a sister was going to sing a song and she got a hold of the microphone and she started saying like this, oh God, you've done for this one over here. Oh God, I've seen you do this for sister such and such, and I've seen you do this for sister, and God, I've served you, and I've walked for you, and I've prayed, and I've done this, but why not me, God? Why haven't you blessed me? Why do I have sickness in my body? Why do I have this? And just think, and boy, it grieved my spirit. It grieved and vexed my spirit so bad. I don't think that I could say that I've ever been vexed so bad in my spirit to hear that kind of speaking going forth from the house of God. I try to covet or to guard over the sacred desk in such a way that, and I know we get guest speakers coming in the mind of revelation, the mind of God, but you know, brothers and sisters, we are here to speak the word of truth, the word of power, the word of salvation, the word of life, the word of encouragement. And I know that also comes forth from the sacred desk a reproof and a rebuke, but that's to kill that outer man out. But this manifestation in his speaking was by satanic influence and power of religion. And it was absolutely so against everything that I teach and everything that I believe. Even though the individual was so religious and so confident in their salvation, when I see no light within them or no understanding or no revelation or no Christ, amen, and I just see the illumination of the religious and the religious world, that could sound very, you know, very hard, you might say, but I have to observe things by the way they are. Now, what I'm saying here is I find people, when I use this individual as an example of speaking out like that, I find people on a continuous basis, and they think like that. And the last person that we should ever look to and say why to is God. Because He has His way in all things. There's nothing that is done, brothers and sisters. If you would take the time to read this full chapter of 32, you're going to find that God had His way in so many things. He's explaining His mind there. He has His way in taking away and destroying lands. Has His way in destroying of homes and taking everything away. He'll strip you down. He'll take everything away of you. And it'll be absolutely the perfect will of a living God to strip you down to absolutely nothing and put you on your back. He might put you on your back in a hospital bed, and all you could do is look up at the... And if the only way you could see somebody is they come stick their face in front of yours. And that is the perfect will of God for your life. And you say, no, the perfect will of God for my life would be to walk in obedience and to walking in health and power and strength. And I say, yea and amen. But because you did not do that, He had His way in the evil and would allow those things to come to you that He could bring you to a place that you can inherit the kingdom of God. If your hand offends you, pluck it off. I pluck it out. Amen. That's the perfect will of God for one that's in disobedience. Now, the perfect will, if you're going to back up another level and look at, the perfect will of God is for you to be in obedience and to walk in the Spirit. And when you're obedient to God and walking in the Spirit, brothers and sisters, it's going to be evident in your life. Now, I remember ministering a message not long back to you, and you see, we could find one would say is a crucifixion. One could be walking among the brotherhood here and say, man, I'll tell you what, man, I'm getting persecuted. I'm getting crucified, man, you know, because I'm a Christian. And he could be, ever believe that and never be so far and so wrong. You see, brothers and sisters, there's sometimes the chastening of the Lord is not being crucified for the name of Christ. And this is what many people do because they think it so highly of themselves. They're going through tribulations and persecutions of God because of the way they think and because of the ways that they're doing, because He's watching your ways. And they're going through these things and it's chastening. It's not persecution because of your great testimony or because you're somebody in God. There is a difference, brothers and sisters. There was a man nailed on a cross right next to Jesus, and it wasn't because he was a savior. It's because he was a wicked man. And that's what they would do with the wicked people. They would nail him to a cross before all of the people. You see, being nailed to a cross, brothers and sisters, to speak, wasn't the salvation. You understand that? Because there was one on each side. And there's people that are being persecuted or appear to be persecuted, but they're being chastened by the Lord, and they would have that kind of a testimony. But you see, you have to understand there's a difference. You could take a man that would look like he's going through the fire. Paul said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. There was a travail in him. He was the one who was travailing for the church. You see, and there's a travail that a minister and a Christian, I'm not going to narrow this down to a minister, I'm talking to you as Christians. There is a travail, brothers and sisters, that you could be travailing in to bring forth Christ and others. There could be tribulation and all kinds of things coming against you and persecutions and a lot of things, but you got the power and the strength of a living God. The Holy Ghost dwelled up and pulls up strong within you, and it shows the strength of God. You see, brothers and sisters, that's not a tribulation or a persecution because of your wickedness. It's because it's to show the strength and the majesty of a living God that He's still alive today. He's still on the throne. He's still well. You see, there's too much of this lukewarm religion. They want to talk about the love of God and how God died for them. And, you know, and I think that's a wonderful message. But brothers and sisters, why did He die? Did He die for us and shed His blood and get nailed on a cross where we could just go on through this world and just live our little life and have our little businesses and build our little homes and just go on through life? You see, if that's your mindset of what religion is, you've missed God altogether. You see, brothers and sisters, this is a transition. When we think of transformation, it's in the soul realm, a transformation. And there's a mindset of transformation from your old natural carnal mind to the mind of Christ. And there's a transition taking place right here. There was a transition. If you'd go back and read Jeremiah, you find them that came out of Egypt and going across there. There was a transformation of thought. All the power was there. They saw all the great mighty works of God in the wilderness. You know, praise God, the pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day. Praise God, the water flowing forth out of a rock. As when they desired meat, He brought meat 4 feet deep for them. The quails flew in, piled up 4 feet deep out there. You know, God was showing His power. When they went into rebellion against God, He showed His strength and His by opening up the ground and swallowing them up. You see, the power of God was manifest there, but that wasn't Canaan land. That wasn't what God had in store for them. And there's people that partake of the power of God in this soulish perspective, in this transformation realm, and they get enough of it to satisfy them, but then they're still taking upon the parts of the world enough to satisfy the lust. They're taking things to the lust of man, and they're taking things from the Spirit of God, and they have that right to do that when they're in the second heaven. But if you're satisfied with taking a little bit of this spiritual life and being partakers of it and seeing illumination on this side in the darkness, and that's what satisfies you, and you think that you're content with that, you're going to be a sad day of awakening for you. You've got to catch a way beyond that. You've got to be caught into a heavenly place, into a spiritual realm, and walking in the Spirit, and quit observing the lying vanities of this life, and quit looking at everything in this life, and start looking at the things in the invisible dominion. You see, when you see things in the invisible realm, brothers and sisters, it's totally different. It makes you judge everything differently. Everything. Everything that you look at and everything that you'll judge it totally different than what you do when you're looking at what you see. Now the thing is if God's looking on your ways, like we read here, and the things that are before you are absolutely, you've created it. If you get into the Spirit, then you become one with Him. You come in His mind. You become in His power. You become one with His Word. His Word is creation. His Word, brothers and sisters, speaks light. His Word makes the impossible things possible. That's His Word. That's where we should walk at. Now the thing is when you're perplexed and in despair and in anxieties and all of these things that are created by the world, then you are being affected by the things of the world. That means you're of the world and you're looking at the world. Now I know we can go back to the scripture where Jesus was a man acquainted with grief and sorrows. You see, there was a travail in Him to bring you forth to what we're speaking about. That was the sorrow when He would look upon the people that didn't have ears to hear what He was saying. That's where the sorrow came in. Just as I said, as I heard this individual speaking forth in one of our services and speaking forth, "Oh God, why have You done for others and not for me?" You see, I was grieved. He was a man appointed with grief because he saw the grief of the manifestation of the enemy, the carnal mind, the death, and he was the Prince of Life. And you see, that was the grief he had. He wasn't in grief because of his actions or his deeds or the things that he was doing. He was grieved in the Spirit by the things that people were doing. When He's offering them life and they wouldn't accept it. When He's offering them power and they wouldn't take it. When He gave them everything that pertains unto life and they rejected it. You see, brothers and sisters, who has the power to reject? Who has the power not to take what he has? I remember they talked about, I believe it was President Lincoln, and they said that he pardoned a man and granted a pardon to him. The man was, I think, found with treason. They were going to put him to death. That was the thing that they would do with the man who was treason against the country. And they were going to put him to death, and they offered a pardon to this man because they found it was a mistake. The man wouldn't accept the pardon, and he was put to death. You see, Christ has offered you a pardon. Have you accepted it? And some say, "Well, sure, I've accepted it. That's why I live off in lascivious things I do. Man, I know He's pardoned me for this old reckless lifestyle that I live. And I know that He's done that." But you see, you're dwelling in a soul realm. You see, it's a transition. It wasn't in store for God to leave him in the wilderness there. It was not in store for him to just make these provisions for him in the wilderness. He had to make those provisions in the wilderness because they didn't take their course and go straight on through into Canaan land. If they would have went straight on through to Canaan land, he would have made the provisions for him to get straight over there. But because of unbelief and because of stumbling around and out there trying to make a golden calf and all the things that they were trying to do, brothers and sisters, is why he had to bring provisions to him there. God makes provisions for you, brothers and sisters, and shows himself to you when you're wandering around in the wilderness of your life. His provisions are there and his love is there, but you have not made it into the Canaan or into the Spirit. You haven't entered into that third heaven. You see, you're satisfied with the touch. You're satisfied with the goosebumps on the back of your neck or feeling the Spirit of God. You're satisfied with the provisions that he gives you on this side. You're satisfied with the businesses and the jobs and the homes and the finances. You're satisfied with those things. You think, man, praise God, and you're right to give the glory to God for those things. You should think, thank you, Jesus, for the dwelling place. Thank you, Jesus, for the transportation. Thank you, Jesus, for the food that I eat. Thank you, Jesus, for the companion that I have. Thank you, Jesus. You should thank him for everything. That's the way we should be, brothers and sisters. But don't put your eyes on those things. When you put your eyes on those things, then you've missed him. Those things are either a blessing or a curse. And when you put your eyes upon the Lord and you see that he's blessing and giving you the things that pertain unto life, and the glory and honor goes to him. When you put your chest out and you, boy, look at my great handiwork and look at this. I'm more spiritual than the rest. I've given more into the things of God. I've sowed more. I do this. I do that. And when you do those things and you pick yourself up, you've exalted yourself, not him. Guess what happened? There's a crash up and there's a fall. You know, brothers and sisters, let the Lord honor you. Let him honor you. And he'll honor you. He'll honor you in everything. And he'll bless you. But you know, we don't seek after honor. You know, the Bible says that it's you that humble yourself will be exalted. But when you exalt yourself, you'll be humbled. It's a humbling experience to have Lord slam you down on your face. Brothers and sisters, if you could watch things by the Spirit, I'll be driving in a car by myself and be talking with the Lord. And I'm not looking out here when I'm driving like as a natural man. Sometimes the Lord will allow me to, just something will just unveil right before me. And I go like, wow. But I marvel sometimes that how somebody in another vehicle is looking for a flash of a second, a half of a second, or 1 second. You might be stopping at a light and they might have a whole 30 seconds to impress you. You know, but you watch things by spirit. You know, there's a way to drive a car. You can get in the car and you drive it where you're going. But you know, some of these guys, man, they got to be over here and they got the whole arm hanging out trying to drag the ground. They got their head halfway out the window like, hey, you know, what is the deal with that? Oh, it's just a fad. No, it's a stinking devil that this just can't be normal because he don't think he's going to be seen and he's got to get himself out there to do that. Why does a man wear his pants halfway down the backside and dragging the ground? Why does a man cock his hat sideways on his head? It's a devil. And you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, you believe anything you want. I watch things by the Spirit. You watch things by the natural and you'll never see the devil. But it's a demon spirit says, look, I'm not going to line up with anything normal. I'm a devil and I'm going to destroy anything and everything that I can. You see, brothers and sisters, you got to learn that everything is ordered by the Spirit. Everything. There's nothing that has movement. There's nothing that has any sound utterance coming forth of it, of anything that isn't motivated by spirits. And the spirits that are motivating people, you know, we would like to think that you're motivated by the Spirit of God. And everything that you do it by the Spirit of God. That's what we would like to think. But there's spirits, brothers and sisters, and it's a dispute for your body, and these spirits want to manifest themselves. And when you see a kid going down the road with his arm dragging the ground, or his pants dragging the ground, his hat on sideways, pierced through the nose, tattooed up, pierced through the ears and the nostrils, and God only knows where else they got them, all this stuff, it is a devil. Yeah, I might offend you. I'm just telling you. Listen to me. Thus saith the Lord, it is a devil that is making them do the things that they're doing. You see, if it's something to project you see, you got to get away from that. When everything that you do wants to project you as a great man, or you want to project yourself as great in any way, you see, that's a devil. You see, there's only one thing good, and that's God. And when you'd come to that revelation and knowing that there's only one good thing, it's God, then everything that you do would want to bring glory to God. You'll dress right to bring glory to God. You'll talk right to bring glory to God. You'll be functioning in your work habits and things, not to bring a reproach to your household, and bring glory to God. Everything that you do will bring glory to God. And you say, well, Brother Rom, You know, your message, everything's God. Everything's go to the glory of God. Everything's, but what about me? Let me tell you something. You don't have to worry about you, because when you bring everything to glory Him, He'll catch you up where He's at. And you'll find yourself dwelling in the King's palace. Amen. And you'll find yourself amongst the provisions. I remember making a statement about the prodigal son. You know, he was there dwelling in the King's palace, we may say. And he decided, well, I want to do my own thing. Let me have my inheritance. And he goes off. And he found that when he went away from the blessings of the King, we'll say, in his father's house, he was desired to eat the husk out there in the pig pen. And here's a guy, you know, let's say that he's standing knee deep in the hog mire and the stench of it. And he thinks, you know what? In my father's house, the servants are doing better than this. You understand that? The servants. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. When you understand who you are in Christ and give Him everything, which is your reasonable sacrifice, when you give Him your whole life. Here's what I marvel about, again, sometimes, is I see the struggles that people are in. And trying to get to some kind of a place, if they would enter into the rest of God, He'll just catch them up there. It's already paid for. It's already purchased. It's handed to them. And they're struggling to get there. And they're struggling and struggling to get there. And they're going by the way of their own means, their own mind, their own thoughts. And if they would just enter into the rest of God, He'll raise them up. But they're trying to raise themselves up. You can't do it. He catches you up. He made the way. He's perfected you once and for all. I'm speaking in the Spirit. You cannot earn your way into the Spirit. You cannot do anything to catch your way up. He catches you up. Pray that God would grant unto you the spirit of revelation. You can't earn the spirit of revelation. You can't study the spirit of revelation. You can't press into the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation is granted unto you and it catches you away. You see, we got to get out of the struggles. The realm that I'm speaking of, there's a travail in the soul, brothers and sisters. There's a travail to bring forth the child. The child's not in the travail. You see, it's the one that's bringing it forth. The ministry's in a travail to bring it forth. But you've got to enter into that rest. You've got to enter into that place and quit out of the struggles. You see, but Brother Rob, there's a warfare. You know, Paul even said there's a continued warfare. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Brothers and sisters, there is a place to come to. I walked with a man of God, and I would find that there would be things coming down. And I mean, it would shake you. And you'd see people shook. Oh my, what are we going to do? And this and that. And the man, he wasn't in that. He was walking steady. Let me give you an example. What was the difference of Jesus when he was in the boat? They said he was sleeping. And here's the other people, man, that are, you know, frantic in their mind. Oh, man, we're going to perish out here. You know, man, we're going to die. They wake him up and he looks at him and says, oh, you have little faith. What is faith? He says, oh, you have little faith. And he spoke to the elements and he caused them to cease. And there's people that are walking in the storms of life. And their mind is just like a whirlwind all the time. They can't get settled in their mind. They say, well, you know, they get a little bit of a calm in the storm. They say, oh, this looks like the direction to go. And then they start going that way. And here's the storm again. And they're all messed up. And they're going this way and that way. You know, brothers and sisters, you need to speak to that. When your mind, the thing is, you know, all these things are an example, brothers and sisters. You know, if you perish out in the Sea of Galilee or out here on the oceans or whatever, it's one thing. But when you perish in a storm of life, when the carnality is just vexing you and eating your mind alive, and all the perplexing thoughts of the enemy and all these things are bombarding your mind and you can't get your thoughts established, you're in a storm and you need to come to the understanding, and you find that you've allowed the Lord to sleep there within the vessel, and you need to wake Him up and say, oh God, help me. And then you're going to have to learn to take that authority and that power, and you're going to have to start speaking those things into a calm and get rid of those things. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, there's people that'll come in your presence and they'll want to project themselves in such a way like, hey, everything's cool, man. I know that's a bad expression, but you know, everything's fine here. You know, but they're just in a travail in their spirit. Their spirit is just not settled. It's not at ease. There's tormenting, perplexing things just attacking them continually. And there's a place beyond that. There is a place of genuine rest, brothers and sisters. And we got to enter into that rest with Him. And when you enter into the Spirit with Him, you'll find that. It doesn't matter what's going on. You'll find that peace. And you could walk there within the presence and the fellowship of God. Now, if you could understand this great God and look at the ones that was in the boat. They called on Him and He spoke the thing, and all of a sudden everything was calmed down. I was speaking there at the meeting the other day. And I was speaking to, you know, about Brother William Branham's ministry wasn't vindicated by the miracles that he did. And I could say, now listen, I could talk out of both sides of my mouth, you might say here, but I could speak in two different realms. They were a vindication of the dimension that he walked in. You see, when Jesus did miracles, brothers and sisters, to those people that were natural. It was a vindication that he was different, that he's God. And it did vindicate him. But that's not what he was looking for. Because, brothers and sisters, the vindication of God is to walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. What I'm saying here is that, you know, people would look over at Brother Pike and the ministry of the revelation of Jesus Christ, and they would compare it to the ministry of Brother Branham and say, yeah, but look what Brother Branham done. He done this, done this, done this, and done this. But you know, a man gets his eyes opened up. He gets his ears opened up. He was lame and was made to walk, and he could go right into hell. What kind of vindication is that? You see, and this is why people did not receive the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ preached by Brother Pike, because they were natural and they were living in another realm and they wanted to see it vindicated in the natural. But this ministry is not a natural ministry. It's a ministry of spirit. And the only way to be vindicated in the spirit is to walk in the spirit, to lead by the spirit, to think in the spirit, to see in the spirit, to hear in the spirit. That's the only thing that will vindicate the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the only ones that will see it are them that are spiritual, that have been caught into that place. If they're not caught into that place, they're going to be just like the church, and they're going to be looking. I say not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm talking about this religious, that they're looking for vindication by things that they see. See, Jesus reproved Thomas of that. There was a reproof offered unto him for that. You know, do you only believe what you see? I can't believe what I see because the things I see are lying vanities. You see, I don't think that way. You say, well, I believe what I see. I saw the doctor's report and I saw this and that. That's what I believe. Well, you're believing a lying vanity and you forsake your own mercy. You see, if you enter into the Spirit of God, you're not going to go by the false reports. You're not going to go by those things. They told Jesus, hey, we're going to perish. He said, I don't believe that for a second. Where's your faith at? Everything's fine. He spoke to it and calmed it. Doctor says, hey, man, you're sick. Man, you've got so many days left or this and that. You say, hey, doc, you know, that's just a lying vanity. I don't believe that. You see, I'm going to speak by the Spirit. He came to give me life and life more abundantly. He came and he took the iniquities upon his back and brought the healing for me by the stripes that he received. That's what I believe, Doc. You know, you see what I'm saying? You got to learn to rend the veil. You say, well, you know, I do know this, brother, that, you know, if you are spiritual and you do that, and you say that, it'll manifest. And I say, but you know what? You're still looking in the wrong realm. You get there in the Spirit, and you walk in the peace of the Spirit and the satisfaction of the Spirit and rejoice in the Spirit and speak in the Spirit and thank God. Sometimes people don't have the blessings because they haven't thanked God. And the reason they haven't thanked God, because they're not believing it. And that's why it's not manifesting, it's not happening, because of their doubt and their unbelief. And they get it for a second. I remember a man said to me when I was counseling him, I said, he was having marriage problems. I said, brother, a soft answer turns away wrath. He said, I tried that. And I said, it don't work when you just try it one time. Well, bless God, I gave 10% of my paycheck over to church, you know, said I'm going to get 100-fold. This and that didn't happen. It don't work that way. You get a conviction in your heart and you sow and you sow and you sow and you sow, and it takes a while. This is the same kind of statement. Well, I got some seed out there and I borrowed such and such as rototill. I rototilled up the ground. I put some stuff down out there. I put a little label out there. One said squish and the other one said maters and the other one said taters. You know, but man, I went out the next day and ain't there. Man, heck with this gardening stuff. And that's about how ignorant people are. We're in a fast food society, man. You know, like, hey, you know, throw it in the microwave. Man, there's full-blown meal, man. Just rip the cardboard box off. And you know, that's what people are. And they think it's that way with God. But you know what, brothers and sisters? God's not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. And if you don't like what's out there in your garden, you better watch what you're sowing. That's the problem. Want to blame God? Well, look at my garden, man. It's got weeds in it, man. Preacher, come help me. I've been out there in some of your gardens and got the thistles in my arms and cut up and bleeding and things out there. They're trying to help you do because of your neglect and negligence. But you know, I did that maybe as an example to say, hey, look, I'm willing to travail with you, but you know, I'm sitting out here doing this for you, show you the way to do it. And you know, there's a time that you just back off and say, okay, man, here it is. After maybe you get out there done toiling around out there and what you've made and what you've created. I remember using brother-in-law as an example. Calls me up, oh, Brother Rob, man, my world's coming to an end, man. You know, I got the law after me. I've lost my family, this and that. Man, I need your prayer. You know, and some say, well, you know, you ought to tell him to pray. I did. I prayed that God would give him the strength to stand the judgments of a living God that's upon him, because he knew better than everything he did. You see, you can't just say, oh, God, wipe the slate clean. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, when those kind of things happen, they just go right back. They just get right back into it. So, you know, that's not even the proper way to pray. That's why sometimes the Bible said you pray amiss. Sometimes you're shipwrecked in your faith because that's the way you pray. Oh, God, just take this thing away. It don't happen that way. You've sown ignorance. You've sown iniquity. You've sown lust. You've sowed perversion. You've sowed greed. envy, strife, and malice, and maliciousness, and drunkenness, and anger, and jealousies, and strife, and you sow all those things, then you go, oh God, here I am in church, praise God, hallelujah, I'm here, I'm repenting, oh God, and I'm going to do this, and you think it's all just going to be behind you. God's not mocked, brothers and sisters. It isn't that way whatsoever at all. You say, well, see, you're taking away the grace. I'm trying to speak to you as unto spirituals. You know, when you keep taking the grace and turning it to lasciviousness, what is lasciviousness? It means you think you can just keep on doing those things. Say, oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, forgive me. You see, and I preach this kind of message. When I was up there in Virginia, I said, you know, the problem is the church has become Catholic. And see, when you think like that, and when you think you're just going to go on and you're just going to say, oh, Jesus, forgive me, this, you're Catholic. So what they do, they go to the confession booth. Oh, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. Had too many margaritas last night. And man, when, you know, on the 15th margarita, oh, Father, forgive me, I've sinned. Well, say your Hail Marys and say this and that. You know, that sounds so ignorant, doesn't it? But that's the Pentecostal churches, the Baptist churches, the Methodist churches. That's the message that's preached today. Oh, just come into the church and repent. We're having a great revival this month. You know, oh, evangelist, twofold child of hell's coming over and he's going to preach to you. You know, the message of thus and us. You know what I'm saying? And they'll come in and they'll repent and they'll get in the altars. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Help me, Jesus. I remember Brother Pike, we'd have evangelistic meetings and he'd go off out and set a tent or go somewhere. And I'd marvel at the amount of the brethren and the ones that are supposed to be there to strengthen the hand and do this. Man, there they are pouring in the altars. He preached an evangelistic message and they pour into the altars. You know, and God suffers that and it's okay. But what I'm saying, brothers and sisters, where is walking in the Spirit? Where is the unity in the Spirit? Where is dwelling in heavenly places at? Where is the mind that's caught away into the heavens? You know, that's what we have to come to. And we find ourselves travailing in places and stumbling around in iniquities and things. We don't even need to be in those realms. You see, when we come to the understanding, brothers and sisters, not doing away with the blood of Jesus, knowing that we've entered in by the blood of Jesus. When we go boldly to the throne of grace, brothers and sisters, by faith, we come through grace or we couldn't get there. But once we're there and dwelling in heavenly places, it's a different life. I thank God for the grace of God and the mercies of God. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm going to minister to you, and I could minister from two different dimensions here. I could speak to you as a man and say, you know, brothers and sisters, by the grace of God, it's by His grace if I even make it in. It's by His mercies, brothers and sisters. You know, oh, wretched man that I am. The things I want to do, I find myself not doing in the very things. And see, I could go down these trails as a man. But you see, I can't keep on dwelling in man's mind and man's thoughts and man's prayers. I got to get into the Spirit. I got to walk in the Spirit and find the liberties and the power and the strength that I have in the Spirit. And you say, what is liberty? Liberty is to speak, brothers and sisters, of who I am in Christ and knowing who I am in the power of His salvation and the power of His might and the power of His strength to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. And I am not going to cower down to anything of this world. I'm not going to give strength and power to anything of this world. If it's sickness, if it's disease, if it's poverty, you know, if it's hatred or malice, any of those things. I'm not going to bow down to those things. I'm going to walk in the Spirit of God and I'm going to walk beyond those things and above those things and I'll put them under my feet. Why? Because I have His power. I have His strength. I have His mind. I have His might, His majesty. I'm heirs with Him. He's given me everything that pertains unto life. You see, and if you could convince yourself out of that, then you're listening to carnality, the mind of death, the mind that's enmity with God. How do I show His power? Through overcoming. I show His power by walking beyond reproach. I show His power, brothers and sisters, by conforming to the image of a living God. You see, this isn't something future. This is something that's now. This is something that is right now. If I keep thinking, well, man, praise God, someday, you know, I'm going to die, man, and I'm going to walk in glory with God and this and that. If you ain't walking with Him now, you won't walk with Him then. And you wouldn't even speak like if you're waiting on a death. If you were in the Spirit, you'd know that you've already passed from death unto life and you're not looking to death. You know that you've already died with Christ. You know that you're already eternal with Him. You're already hid in with Him, sealed in with Him, caught away with Him, perfected once and for all with Him. You see, He's already, everything's done. And if you would understand that, then you would come to the finishing and let Him be the author and the finisher of faith. And that faith is going to bring a manifestation, a substance, brothers and sisters, an evidence, something that is seen. But when you're stumbling and staggering and falling and unfaithful and violating the Scriptures and the Word of God, you could talk about revelation. Revelation. You could talk about this, but it isn't there. As I said in the thing about the college class, you know, if you go to church to look how weak everybody else is, you're not there for the right reason. If I go to a college class and I say, I got to get this doctor's degree because I want to be a doctor, and I look around, I say, this guy's a dope addict, this guy's a drunk, this guy's just here for the women, this girl's over here, she's just a harlot, and da da da, man, I'm not going back to school. You only just lost out. If you're the only one in the class that gets the diploma and the certificate to go on to be a doctor, rejoice in the Lord. If you're the only brother sitting in this church under the sound of my voice right here, and you're the only one that's going to make it in, rejoice in the Lord. That's what you have to do. Am I going to quit because this guy don't live right? Am I going to quit because this guy don't do right? It's like I told an individual that was finding fault with me back way back not too long ago. Like right now. But I said, hey, Brother Rob's on his way to hell, so be it. You know, if that's true and I am on my way to hell and I'm lost, does that justify you in your bitterness? Does it justify you in your malice? Does it justify you with all this hatred and animosity in your heart? Man, you need to get rid of that. You know, forget about the destiny of Brother Rob. Forget about the destiny of the Brotherhood at Christian Temple. Where do you have the right to have bitterness and animosity and anger and malice and all these things in your heart? Brother says we can't have that. You know, we got to get up and go. Let's read on. We haven't got the part I wanted to get to. I'm not going to keep you much longer. I'm going to go back to verse 19. Great in counsel and might, mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. And you might say, well, the message you preached this morning, because this is unto the sons of men, and it isn't unto the sons of God. But remember one thing, brethren, is that Jesus came as a son of man and a son of God. And what you have to do is you got to understand that you came the same way. And you came as a son of man, and this is what is going to be happening within the son of man. That's where the manifestation, brothers, of the sons of God's at. In this dispensation of time, the sons of God are manifesting in the sons of men. That's the only way the men of this world will see the Son of God, is by manifestation, or would Jesus wouldn't have come the way he did. And that's the only way that they're going to know God, is by the Son of God dwelling within the Son of Man that you were born in, and bring him to conformity to the mind of Christ and to the obedience of Jesus Christ, to the obedience of the spirit world, and they will see that, and it will lift them up, because they'll be caught away to where you're at. And that's why it's important. I've said so many times, I don't walk an obedient life for salvation. I have salvation and the obedience comes with it. And the obedient life I watch that others walk is that others can see salvation in me and have that hope, the hope of glory, the hope of Christ within. You see, that's the revelation of the Lord Jesus. Amen. It says, because of all the evil of the children of Israel and of the children of Judah, which they have done to provoke me to anger, they their kings, their princes, their priests, and their prophet, and the men of Judah, and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. But they set their abomination in the house, which is called by my name, to defile it. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire of Molech, which I commanded them not. Neither came it unto my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. And now therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning this city, whereof ye say, it shall be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon, the sword, and by famine, and by the pestilence. You see, the Lord allows those things to happen, to bring a chastening and a reproof. Behold, I will gather them out of the countries, whether... Now, this is the mercies of God now. It's changing right here. It says, behold, I will gather them out of all countries, whether I have driven them in mine anger, and in my fury, and great wrath. And I will bring them again into this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. I could say some things right here that has to do with the Jew. And we see some things taking place within the Jew right now. When I read this scripture, the Lord quickens it and shows me the dimensional perspective of it. And see, I could go in several directions here. I could speak it to a perspective of an end time thought of the way things are going back to the Jew now. I could speak it to me as a spiritual Jew and know that if I walk in disobedience unto the living God, that the things that I'm going to bring onto myself, as he shows it here, he's observing my ways. You see, and we can differentiate these things, brothers and sisters, and see the mind of God and know how to receive the word It don't matter where you're reading the Word. If you're going to go into the shadows and read, or if you're going to go into the light of Revelation and read, or if you're going to go into the New Testament of the object and read it, you're going to always bring it to the same place if you're in the mind of Revelation or in the mind of God. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart and one way, and that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. You see, there's a place when you come to that reverent fear of God. And there's some of you that don't have the fear of God. You don't have the fear of hell. You don't have the fear of God in this present day now. It's evident in your actions and the things that you do. And if you really come to a place where you had the fear of God, then you would walk beyond reproach. Amen. You'll never have the love of God until you have the fear of God. And perfect love casteth out fear. Amen. You have to understand that. It says, and I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and for their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. Do you see that? If you can understand that scripture, it's why I could stand before people and they just absolutely draw up with me. And I'd say, hey, one of the greatest miracles I've ever seen is when a man was in his health, walking with the ability to walk and to run, and man, good health and strength, and was smitten by the Lord and put in a wheelchair for the rest of his life. I said, that's the greatest miracle I've ever seen. People think, well, you know, why would you talk like that? You would rejoice in the fact of a man keeping his strength and health, or rejoice when a man gets out of a wheelchair and walks. You think, oh, praise God. And he might walk right into the bars and into the nightclubs and into the lust and the foolishness of this world, but maybe in the fact that he had found God in that. What is it all about? You know, the numbers of these days may be full of misery, brothers and sisters. But in these numbers of days, whatever it may be, you know, then you inherit eternal life and walking in the kingdom of God forever and ever. You see, this is the whole problem with the Pentecostal realm. This is why they can't receive this kind of a message, because they're looking for the manifestation, naturally speaking, instead of in by the Spirit. This is why the Brother Branham people couldn't find the revelation in Brother George Pike, because they were too caught up looking for the miracles when absolutely the miracles were before them, when people's eyes were getting open and people that were lame, did not know how to walk with God, were all of a sudden getting up and finding who they are in Christ and start walking in the Spirit. You see, there could be one put to death right in the service. Even this morning, there could be one put to death, cut off from God. And if you was in the Spirit, you'd see this individual cut, slap off, and never have a chance of repentance, never have a chance of God's Spirit, never dwelt again, and nobody'd ever see it. They wouldn't see it unless they're spiritual. Or another one might receive the infilling of the Spirit of God as the minister's speaking, not laying on of hands, just the speaking of the Spirit, and all of a sudden they get caught away in the Spirit, and you see them get caught into the Spirit with God, and they're sealed in, and ain't no devil of hell, nothing can pluck them out of the hand of God. Ever. Nothing. And people wouldn't even see that, because they're not in the Spirit. You see, the realms of the church have taught this thing of being in the Spirit is something that happens to the body. And this is why their faith is shipwrecked. Out in the Pentecostal realms, a man gets a pair of glasses and they think, well, he don't have faith. They see a man aging. But brothers and sisters, show me a man of God in this Word of God from the greatest. Let's talk about Jesus. You see, was his victory and power in the natural, or was it in the Spirit? It was in the Spirit. And you say, well, he was resurrected. Amen. And I'm one with him. I'm in the Spirit of resurrection. He's given me that. I've already been resurrected. And you say, yeah, but I want to see with the natural. Well, you see, you've forsaken your mercies again. The thing is it's like, you know, a man said to me one time, he said, well, the problem I have with Brother Rob, I know him in the, you know, in the flesh and not in the Spirit. You know, and I thought about it. I said, you know, I've never violated him in the flesh. And people take that scripture so out of context. When it says, there's no man after the flesh, it doesn't mean, well, don't know me after my drunkenness, my snorting, my smoking, my lying, my cheating, my drinking, my whoremongering around. Don't know me. That's not what the Bible's saying. That's not at all what it's saying. The Bible, on the other hand, contrary to that, teaches us whoever you yield your members to, who are you of? And it's just being made manifest that your father is the devil. You see, that's simple. It's not telling me, when it says to know no man after a flesh, brothers and sisters, don't know a man in his aging. Don't know a man in his hair loss. Don't know a man in his eyes maybe fading away. Don't know a man when his strength starts dwindling away. Know him after the Spirit and the revelation that he's speaking. Brother Pike made a statement one day to me. It was probably within maybe 2-3 months before he passed, maybe 2 months. He said, Brother Rob, he said, it don't matter what happens to this body. He said, just remember what I preached. He said, he preached that he passed from death unto life, then you see the body die, so you could die and lose your faith with that. It had nothing to do with that body. He wasn't speaking by that body. He wasn't speaking by that man. He was speaking by the Spirit. And that Spirit used that body of that man for a vocal utterance to bring a revelation to you and I. And it's no different today. He's using you. He's using you to speak. He's using me to speak. He's using us to show forth the mind of God, whatever measure you can. Hopefully it's enough to win somebody to the Lord. Maybe it's enough to win your family to God. Maybe it's enough to win you. But brothers and sisters, you see, we have to look at things differently and judge things differently. You that are spiritual, judge all things. What are you judging? Do you judge yourself? The Bible tells you to consider and see if you be in the faith. You know, so the thing is we need to understand the mind of God. Let me read on here just a little bit. Let's go back to verse 39. It says, and I will give them one heart, one way, that they may fear me forever. For the God of them and of their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will put that will not turn away from them to do them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts that they shall not depart from me. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. For thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. This is when you could rejoice, when you see your brother. You see brothers and sisters once saying, oh man, pray that God will bless me. Man, I'm losing my business. Man, I'm losing everything I got. And I'm rejoicing in the Lord because I live in a different world. Because I knew that what God had to do was strip those things away from me to get me where I needed to be with Him, and He added back. And if your world and your wealth and your riches is going to separate you from God, and I see Him stripping it away from you that you can have salvation, I rejoice in the Lord. And you might go shipwrecked in your faith, and you might this and that, and you might think, oh God, you know this and that, but you know what? I'd rather see that as you lose your soul and go to hell. You see, this is where you have to live in a different world and knowing that evil can't come to the city lest I send it, saith the Lord. You got to know that He has His way in the good and in the evil. And if He's having His way, if it looks like evil on you, it's because it's what you sowed, and that's what you'll reap, because God is not mocked. So brothers and sisters, where you are at and where you live and the things that are that the kingdom that you've created around you is the one that you've created. And if it's not the kingdom of God, it will be destroyed. And it's very easy to know the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. Because the kingdom of God, there's only one mind, there's one man, and there's only one to be exalted, and that's Him. And when you build a kingdom around you to exalt yourself, to establish yourself, it will be destroyed, thus saith the Lord. Unless you're not the elect of God, then you'll stand the judgments of it one day. If you're God's elect, it will come down and it will be destroyed if it's of you. And you better start differentiating and rending the veils. Amen. Because God loves you and He's more concerned for your soul than He is for your well-being. He would rather see you shorten the number of your days. He would rather you see you end in as a pauper. He would rather see you end in with nothing. You understand that? So it's up to you. You've created your world and kingdom. You come to a revelation, the mind of God, you're a creator. What are you creating? Are you creating for your glory or for His glory? I'll tell you what, when you really come to a revelation of that, and everything you do it as unto the Lord, then He raises you up. He raises you up for men will be exalted unto Him, not you. Amen. And let Him receive all glory and honor and rejoice in that. Verse 42, I'm going to read on here. It says, for thus saith the Lord, like as I have brought all this great evil upon this people, so will I bring upon them all the good that I have promised them. The good that He brings is eternal good. The evil that He brought to them is temporal. The good is eternal. The evil's temporal. You understand that? So when you judge things by the mind of God and through righteousness, brothers and sisters, the perplexities of this life for a short season, and think of the joys of all of eternity. Whatever it takes should be in your mind and your heart. And fields shall be bought in this land, whereof ye say, it is desolate without man or beast. It is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. Men shall buy fields for money and subscribe evidence and seal them and take witness in the land of Benjamin and in the places about Jerusalem and in the cities of Judah and in the cities of the mountains and in the cities of the valley and in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captivity to return, saith the Lord. Maybe you ought to go back and read that whole chapter. Pray that God would help you to understand the whole thing. But it's the mind of God for this present day and hour. It isn't a historical accounting of way God was. It is the way God is. It isn't some kind of a history book lesson that we could say, well, you know, boy, I'm sure glad God isn't that way today, you know. But see, we violate the word. God is that way today. You see, if you're in the spirit, brothers and sisters, you know God is exactly that way today. When you're in the soul realm, you're going to be thinking, man, God is so merciful and God is so great and God is so awesome. And He is. But what I'm saying, when you get into the spirit, brothers and sisters, you know He's the same. And you judge things differently. You look at things differently and you understand Him differently. And you don't war in your mind. When you're in a travail in your mind, but why is this one being blessed and me not? Why is that one over here? You're just simply in the soul realm. I'm telling you, the whole world, church world, is in the soul realm. They're in the second heaven. They have not made it into the third. You see, brothers and sisters, when you go back again and you look at the wilderness there, and the people found themselves out there in the wilderness, they saw the provisions of God, and some of them decided to stay on the other side of Jordan. And there's people that just claim to like it there. Hey, I like this grace, man. You know, hey, God's love, mercy. You're right. He is mercy, and He's showing you mercy right now. But that day's coming to a close. When is it closed for you? You see, when you're talking about that second heaven realm, you see, brothers and sisters, some of them put it into a dispensation and say, well, you know, we're in a dispensation of grace, and that'll change when the Jews come back into order. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you about the second heaven. There is a transformation realm there and a catching up. A daily catching up, a daily crucifixion. You see, and if there's a daily crucifixion and a daily catching up there within that second heaven, there is also a time, brothers and sisters, in that realm that people can find themselves absolutely cut off. It's the saving of the soul, the Bible says, not the spirit. It's the saving of the soul. The Bible said summer has come to an end. You know, harvest is near, but the soul has not been saved. It's the saving of the soul. It's not the body. You're not even accountable to the deeds of the body. And you say, so well, then if I'm not accountable to the deeds of the body, that means all my lust and all my drinking and all my partying and all these things. You know, if it's not, you know, then I don't have nothing to worry about. No, it's the soul. It's the soul is the illumination, and the soul is what the illumination of whatever spirit you are of is illuminating through. And the thing is that if you're yielding your members over to lasciviousness or the things of this world, then that's who you are of. It's manifesting in your body, but it's illuminating through your soul. And you're going to have to find out who you are of. And if you find something dwelling there in the dispensation of grace that you don't like, it's your obligation to destroy it, to kill it, to crucify it, to mortify it. And you think, well, this is the grace of God. You know, this is why His grace there. His grace, brothers and sisters, is giving you the time to gird yourself up in the spirit to mortify it and kill it. That's the grace of God. The grace of God isn't for this thing to take dominion over you. The grace of God does not give power to the flesh to overtake you. The grace of God is not lasciviousness that you can continue on in it. The grace of God is giving you the opportunity to get back up when you've stumbled, to gird up your loins like a man, to get filled up with the power of the Holy Ghost, and to stomp those things out and put them under your feet. That's the grace of God. That's the mercies of God. The mercies of God isn't for you to continue on into sin. The mercies of God bring you out of sin. The mercies of God isn't to let you stumble and stagger. The mercies of God is the power that you will get beyond reproach. It's simple, brothers and sisters. God's not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. You can keep pleading the blood and keep pleading the mercy, but you're going to find, brothers and sisters, that there is going to be. I'll say this. The church world is looking for a one-time catching up. They're thinking, well, you know, praise God, there's going to be a great rapture someday, and we're waiting for Jesus to come. Well, they're not altogether wrong. But see, they're looking in another dimension. And where they should be at is looking in the perspective of a daily catching up. And if you're not daily catching yourself up, then you're going to be numbered of whatever you are. And if you're not in the Spirit today and walking in the Spirit, speaking by the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, then you're not in the Spirit or of the Spirit. You're carnal, you're natural, you're enmity with God. It's appointed unto you to death in the judgments of a living God. So take advantage of the grace of God, not to lasciviousness, the Bible says, not to lasciviousness. But we're going to take advantage of the grace of God to walk in the power of His might, the strength of His Spirit, and then we could be a soul winner. And we're walking amongst the darkness, brothers and sisters, to bring an illumination and understanding to others that God is in power, He is an overcomer, that we can overcome all things, that He can make the impossible things possible. What is there in your life that God isn't big enough to overcome? If your God isn't big enough to overcome the little perplexities of your life, then how do you expect Him to change that body from mortal to immortality? I see some of the perplexities that people get into, and I'm thinking, my, wait till they run into the devil. Most people never seen Him. You know, when we was going over there to take Iraq, you know, most of the soldiers never seen Saddam Hussein. He wasn't messing around with most of them, because most of them, when you're over here in R&R, or over here somewhere off realms of what you might say your protection, the enemy doesn't know who you are. But when you start tromping on his soil, kicking the gates of hell down, Then you'll know them. But some people ain't even pushing against the enemy. He's not going to mess with them. People that come to the revelation of the Lord find themselves in a travail. I know that many folks, and myself being one of them, when I came to the revelation of Christ at Bethlehem, I found myself dealing with things I never dealt with before because I never was kicking those things down before. I wasn't threatening Satan's kingdom before. And I found it when I came to the revelation of the Lord that I found myself travailing and warring against things that I never saw before. You see? And that's what, where we have to come. We got to come to be a threat to the kingdom of Satan. And when you yield your members over to him and all of his lasciviousness and everything, then you're not a threat to him. But when you start taking that thing back and saying, this is the temple of a living God, and this is his dwelling place, and it's pure and holy and righteous, and you don't allow the abomination of desolation to take place in this life, then Satan's going to travail. Or you're going to be in a travail worn against the members of your flesh. Your battle's not with brothers and sisters and political parties out here or the school systems. Your battle, brothers and sisters, is dwelling within the members of your own flesh. And your fleshly man and fleshly mind is wanting to exalt itself, the abomination of desolation, to be God and exalt itself in this temple and say, hey, I'm going to rule this thing. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Man, I'm the man. Hey, praise God. Man, God is so good. Look at, he's given me this and given me that. But man, look at me. That's the abomination of desolation right there, and you'll find yourself desolate and cut off from God. Amen. But let Christ live, rule, and reign, and manifest, and have his being and his way within you. Amen. That's your reasonable service. Let's stand together. I love y'all and appreciate you. Brothers and sisters, I find many things on my heart. I'm not a very good orator or speaker. I can't deliver sometimes the things that are in my heart to say, but I make an effort, and I pray and hope that you could pray to God that he would help open up your understanding and speak the words of life to you, that these things could come unveiled to you. Brother Pike, I would consider him a great speaker and orator, but it took the Spirit to make you understand what he said. So I pray that God would help you with my feeble effort to come up here before you and speak the mind of God and the mystery of his revelation and the mystery of his power and might to you. It's going to take him to unveil it. I can't do that. It takes him to grant it to you as understanding. Ask him to help you to understand, to see good when good comes, to understand what day and hour that you're truly in. And hopefully you can enter into that one eternal day of rest in God. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.